When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Folks, yesterday I had the honor to sit down with our 44th president, Barack Obama, whose new book, A Promised Land, is out now. Jim?
Well, President Obama, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
It is good to be seen. I've been seeing you on television, but it's good to see you in person.
That's nice. And that's got to help the demo in some. How old are you? Are you 18 and 54?
I'm not the demographic you're looking for.
Sorry, it doesn't count.
It's too late.
I apologize. It doesn't count.
Michelle says hey.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
You know she.
Good.
You know she loves you.
Well, so. I've really enjoyed spending some time with her over the last 4 years.
I know. And,
yeah.
And she adores you. She thinks the world of you. I think you're okay.
Can we just take a moment? Can I just I want to talk.
Yes.
I just want to take a moment to drink you in, for just a moment, because I'm having to get used to looking at a president. Again, you know, I've gotten out of the habit.
I got to
warm up for Joe Biden. I don't want to pull anything when I see him take the oath of office. You got to ease me into this a little bit.
Joe's going to be great,
and I have no
Kamala's
doubt.
Going to be great.
I have
and,
no doubt.
You know they're going to have big challenges ahead, but. You know, we've got the potential of returning to a presidency that is actually paying attention and trying to, you know, do right by all people and not just some.
A lot of announcements of cabinet
yes.
positions over the last 2 days.
People I know.
Guys you know. It's a whole lot of return to the sort of the stability and what's that word? Competency. of your 8 years, which is novel. It's as good as a vacation right now as somebody who actually wants to do the job that they're hired to do. That's an interesting idea, isn't it?
And have experience and have read about stuff and know where countries are. It's great.
So, how you been the last four years? I haven't seen a lot of you.
No.
And it's been kind of, I don't know if you've been paying attention, it's been kind of crazy out here. We're all a little tired. This is how I want to sit today. this is America's posture. We're a little bit like a bone fish right now. It's one of the reasons why it's nice to see you. So
I am good. But I think that I am typical of a lot of us who are lucky enough that mm-hmm. our jobs haven't been endangered because mm-hmm. I was already out of a job as a consequence of COVID.
Do you have any prospects? Anything coming down the line?
I haven't had anybody in our immediate family to get sick.
Mm, that's lucky.
You know, we don't have to worry about the bills. And, you know, so on the one hand, we've had our girls at home. That has been a complete joy. For us, I don't know about them. And then, you know, I think I've used this phrase before, the shambolic nature of the government response obviously has been frustrating.
Especially after you left a game plan for this very specific thing and talked about it before you left.
Yes.
What was that like to watch this response?
That's the frustration. This would have been hard for anyone. I mean, you see even people like Angela Merkel, who you know is herself a scientist, mm-hmm. exemplary, but you've still seen some spikes in Germany. But let's take Canada, where the death rate is 39% ours per capita, right? That's a measure of if we had done the work that what was not rocket science, right? We're not talking about inventing vaccines. I'm glad to see the vaccines now coming on board. But preliminarily, communicating effectively, respecting the science, not undermining the leading epidemiologist in the country, mm-hmm. and saying he's an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, being consistent in terms of masks and social distancing, not suggesting that you know, this is some act of oppression, but rather just a common sense thing to prevent people from getting sick. You know, had we just taken those steps, there is no doubt that we would have saved some lives, and ironically, the economy would be better because we would not be swinging back and forth in the ways that we have, and people would feel more confidence about making day-to-day decisions about shopping or, you know.
Besides the obvious nature of it is the responsible thing to do.
Yes.
And is the economically vital thing to do. Right. Are you surprised that they did not see the political advantage
it
of looking like you cared?
It would have been good politics as well. And yes. And I think that that is a measure of how detached from reality and how embedded ideological and conspiratorial thinking has become, where you're doing it even when it's to your disadvantage, right? In your original show, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there was a you're satirizing a certain attitude, mm-hmm. but you never thought that folks would actually start believing.
I did not know I was a prophet.
Yes.
I thought I was a comedian.
You thought you were a comedian. Mm-hmm. And, but now you couldn't make up some of the stuff that you're seeing. And it is to the detriment of the country. But as you said, it's also it runs contrary to what would have been smart politics if the Republicans wanted to maintain the White House. And that, in some ways, is more troubling because now it's no longer even strategic. It is... you're drinking your own Kool-Aid in a way mm-hmm. that I think is troublesome. And one of the big challenges that Joe Biden's going to have is to figure out how to puncture that information bubble that not just Republican officials, but a sizable portion of voters are in right now.
That gets you to a question that's buried deep in these pages right here, but it could be the only question I ask you. If I only had one question to ask you right now, it would be, what happens now? What the hell happens now?
Yeah.
When you have half or 70% of the Republicans, so maybe about 40% of the public think that Joe Biden won by cheating.
Yeah.
And they believe that all these fantasies being promulgated about Democratic cabals that seem to be pulling the strings in states, Democrat or Republican, all over the United States. How do you then speak to those people, even if you're someone like Joe Biden, who's capable, believes in a government doing the job to serve the people, and is empathetic to the needs and concerns of the people who don't vote for him? Because part of, and we'll get to you eventually, but part of what I think is extraordinary about what we're about to go through is that you know that Joe Biden actually does care about the people who didn't vote for him and why they didn't and what they think.
Yeah,
how does he reach those people?
Well, I think he's in a good position to make the effort. The fact that he won is indicative of the message he sent. Of wanting to unify the country. I do think people are exhausted by just this, World Wrestling Federation constant cage match. And people just want to feel as if a day passes without it being dominated by something crazy coming out of the White House.
That photo opportunity after y'all had your conversation in the Oval Office, and I don't want to spend a lot of time. I've talked about the president a lot for 4 years, and I've had my fill. But that was a chilling moment for me to watch because I perceived in that moment the dignity of the office, or rather the trappings of dignity and status that falls upon, rightly falls upon the person who holds that office in that moment. And I saw
the way, or rather I had a flash, an emotional flash of all the ways that could be abused over the next four years. Were you having a similar feeling in that moment? Or?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a concern.
And were those concerns borne out over the next 4 years?
Exceeded.
Thank you. Mr. President, we have to take a quick break, but stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with President Barack Obama.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Everybody, you know him from his Netflix deal, but I know him as the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. All right, congratulations on your new book.
Yes,
thank
you.
By the way, it is. I'm sorry. This is. I just carry it with me everywhere I go. Have you read this? Because this is a good book.
It's a great book.
Great, but 10 million copies. Hard to beat. That's going to be very hard to beat. But you're not a competitive guy, so that's fine.
I've already waved the white flag.
Okay, good.
Come on, man.
I do want to point something out. Yes?
Any illusion that I might catch up, it turns out that now that my book is selling,
yes,
they all package it with her book. So she keeps on selling more.
Wow.
So I can't. It's hopeless.
By the way, I am enjoying
Thank you.
A Promised Land.
Yes.
Originally, you thought it would be done in about 2 years, I think, yes. And about 500 pages. Yeah. It's 4 years, it's 758 pages, and it's only volume one.
Yeah.
Okay, who will be finished first, you or George R.R. Martin?
For those of you who don't know the reference, Game of Thrones.
Everyone knows the reference, sir.
Do they?
More people have read his books, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Look, the difference is, by the time there's a TV show about this, I will have finished.
In the book, you actually investigated the idea, explored the idea of running for president, even talked to some people about it before you mentioned it to your wife. First question, what? And follow up, wow. And then you say, what do you think of it? If you say no, it's no. And she says, then no. And then you keep going. How, you should write a book about how to get away with that. That's a bestseller. How did you get away with that? And what were you thinking?
Clearly, I was not thinking. Well, as I described, the way that the conversation around me running for president happens, and I know that there are a lot of folks who think, you know, this is all nonsense. He's not playing it straight. But The friends of mine and staff will confirm this. We were firm about me not running for president because I had just been elected to the U.S. Senate. And the notion that I was somehow going to make this leap 2 years later into launching a presidential campaign did not make sense. But partly because I was, you know, the new shiny object and, you know, the press was sort of fascinated, intrigued with me as the only African American in the Senate. I'd given the speech in the Democratic National Convention. There, you get this chatter, and I keep on getting asked about it, and we're rebuffing it, et cetera. But it starts taking on a life of its own, and there comes a point at which I start having serious conversations with Harry Reid and other people who are serious leaders of the party saying, you really should think about it. And it is at that point that I do go to talk to Michelle about it. And she does, and her initial response is no. But what I said to her is we still need to think through all the different elements of it, and if at the end of that you still say no,
okay,
then it's no. And she sort of changed her mind, kind of.
No, I've read it. She does.
But what is absolutely true is, and I've never fully gotten out of the doghouse for this, is that I put her and our kids through an extraordinarily stressful, difficult sequence in deciding to run for president right after I had just gone through a tough race. And, you know, Michelle stayed angry at me about it. You know, it would flare up every so often, but she stayed mad about it through all 8 years, and there was a little carryover of an extra year and a half tail after that. And I think we've, you know, she finally sort of forgave me until this interview, in which case I think it's brought up all these bad memories. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to be facing when I get home.
You write this in the book. This, I was coming to realize, was the nature of the presidency. Sometimes your most important work involved the stuff nobody noticed. What's something nobody still hasn't noticed that you guys did? I'm sorry, I had to speed it up a little bit there for the read. We only have an hour. So go ahead.
By the way, if that was an imitation of me, that was terrible.
I will play your book back right now and show you.
It might be,
that's how slowly you read your book, sir.
It might be that slow, but it sounds so much better when I do it. Anyway.
I'll grant you that.
We'll move on.
I'll grant you that.
Here's a good one. Appliances. You didn't think about this much.
I did not.
Over the course of my presidency, because of new rules for energy-efficient appliances, taking millions of metric tons of greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere, the equivalent of taking 20 million automobiles off the road annually, because, you know, your fridge runs a little bit better, or your washer-dryer. And I would include, by the way, you know, preparations on things like pandemic, if you were actually paying attention to it. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, if you're doing it right, people don't notice. But if you screw up, then it's bad.
Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back with more President Barack Obama.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hi, I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Bernstein.
And we want to tell you about Calm the F*** Down, a guided meditation series from the Oversharing Podcast. This is something we've been planning for a long time. It's our most requested segment from the podcast. And these meditations are going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. They're going to be super quick because we don't have a lot of time. You're going to be so surprised how 5 to 10 minutes of really thoughtful meditations can transform your whole life. In addition to the first 4 meditations available at launch, we'll be doing 2 new meditations every single month. Plus, for the fans of Oversharing Podcast out there, you'll also get ad-free versions of every episode of the Oversharing Podcast.
So if somebody wants to become a subscriber, how do they join?
It's so easy. You just go to subscribe.betches.com and sign up now for only $4.99 a month. Or you can lock in our discounted rate if you sign up for the whole year. That's subscribe.betches.com. Or if you're in the Apple Podcasts app, you can just hit the subscribe button now and sign up in the app. It's as easy as that.
Mr. President, you're famous for your competitiveness. Would you like to take me on in a game of waste basketball?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's hit some baskets.
Now,
we're done.
Let me ask you a question. Did he practice a lot on this whole wastebasket basketball idea?
No.
Has he been practicing for like all month?
No. I would you like to take some practice shots first? Would you like to take some practice shots?
I don't need practice shots. Against you?
Come on. All right. Baskets right over there. Inside your thing over here.
I already have my.
You already have yours right there. There are 10 paper balls. Yours are yellow legal pad, which is, I believe, how you wrote this book.
Yeah, and what are yours?
I got blue script paper, broadcast
paper. How come
paper.
Yours seem like crumpled up a little bit more?
Because I came in and I pre-squeezed them.
Did you practice, but like, look at this one. Look at this one compared to yours. That's all.
Take a moment. Take a moment.
Man.
Do you want to trade balls?
No, but I just think as a matter of principle, the fact that you didn't.
So here it is. It's just 10.
Are we timing this, or are you just going to go 10 and then I'm not going to go 10?
We can shoot at the same time if you want.
I just don't trust you. All right, come on, let's go.
Do you want to make it interesting? If I win, you have to mention me in your next book.
And what if I win?
What do you want?
Nobody's going to read your book anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to lose.
How about this? I'll make a donation to your library.
That is worth.
All right.
Is this an equal distance, by the way?
They measured it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
We're terrible. Oh, that's a good
pressure's
shot.
Pressure's on. Oh, you got a. Oh, no!
Oh, man.
It's what I do! It's what I do!
Hold on. It's not finished yet. How many more you got?
I got 5 more over here.
Yeah? Well,
yeah.
I gotta make at least these last 3. I'm spending all my time crumpling my balls here. All right. Oh, that was so close. Colbert, I'm getting crushed. Oh, man. Oh. Woo! I didn't even hit one. How am I going to live this down? Hold on a second. I got one more. I got
this
check.
Is for everything.
Oh!
You let me win.
No. Look at me. All right.
That made this my favorite interview of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've lost my swag on Stephen Colbert.
Really? Very last question. It's not even a question. It's just a statement. Thank you for being president.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. We'll be dropping classic bits and celebrity interviews 7 days a week while the show goes on hiatus for summer break. The Late Show will be back on July 18th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.